Do you want to know how to start finding simple, healthy swaps in your everyday meals? What about some tricks to come up with new meals? I don't know about you, but ideas for mealtime is where I always struggle the most. So this was actually a favorite part of the podcast for me. Join me as I chat with Carly Boldrug as she gives us a ton of insight on eating healthier but keeping it simple. Stay tuned. So here's the big question. How do you heal your eczema for good? How do you get to the point where you're comfortable in your own skin and aren't embarrassed to show it off? How do you stop using creams and medications that only work for a short while and find a long-term solution? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. My name is Jocelyn Diaz, and welcome to the Eczema Free Journey Podcast. Hey guys, Jocelyn jumping in here again. I wanted to let you know that today's episode is sponsored by Audible. If you haven't heard of Audible, it's the easiest way to listen to audiobooks. If you don't have Audible currently, you can get a free audiobook today and a 30-day free trial to Audible as well. If you don't like it, you can cancel before the 30 days are up and you still get to keep the book, which is what I love. They don't just take it away from you. They have so many titles, including several of the medical medium's books, including his newest one, Cleanse to Heal. So the audiobooks are amazing for busy moms. We're constantly on the move, right? Well, with Audible, you don't have to sit down and read a book. You can be driving, moving, bathing the kids, taking a shower, exercising. You can pretty much be doing it all as us moms normally do. Another great thing about Audible is the ability to listen across several devices without losing your spot. I don't know about you, but I hate when I lose my spot in a book. And with Audible, you don't gotta worry about that. Get your free audiobook and start your free 30-day Audible trial by going to audibletrial.com/eczema-free. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/eczema-free. Alrighty, hope you enjoyed today's episode. We're about to jump into today's podcast, but before we do, I wanted to share something with you. If you're looking to get your child eating better, I have something to help and it is completely free. After struggling for way too long trying to get my two kids under 4 years old to eat more fruits and veggies, I finally discovered 8 key ways to improve their eating and I wanted to give it to you. Why? Because I know the struggle and I don't want you to have to go through that any longer. So I am sharing something that I've tested myself. These methods are what has worked for me. They're surprisingly simple and effective, which is why I thought you could really benefit from it. If this sounds like something you'd be interested in, download your copy now at theeczemafreejourney.com/eat. That's theeczemafreejourney.com/eat. All right, now that that's off my chest, let's get to that podcast I told you about. Hello, Healing Nation. Welcome to the Eczema Free Journey podcast. My name is Jocelyn Diaz, and today I'm talking with the founder of Plant U, Carly Boldrug. Plant U is a whole food, plant-based online community, digital meal planner, and food blog with a fan base of over 500,000 social media followers. After living the standard life full of red meat and potatoes, Carly learned that red and processed meat were now considered group 1 and group 2 carcinogens, which means that they can cause cancer. Carly took her BA in journalism and media studies, and she became a registered holistic health coach and a graduate of the plant-based certificate program by Nutrition Studies and Cornell University. She's now thriving and feeling great while sharing delicious and easy plant-based recipes we can all use. Today, we're going to be talking about how we can all start eating more plants, certain ingredients to make sure we're adding to our meals, and how to get inspiration for new meals while still keeping it simple. Welcome, Carly, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm so excited to be here today.
Yay, me too. I've really been looking forward to it. So Carly, before we jump into it, I love to ask this fun question. So what is one fun fact about you that no one really knows about?
So I find everybody assumes that I've always been into the healthy lifestyle and healthy eating, but my friends who have known me for my lifetime always laugh at how I run this kind of healthy eating plant-based blog because I used to eat terrible. And by terrible, I went to college outfitted with a full freezer of like tater tots, and you name it, I've lived off of frozen processed food for several years of my life. So not a lot of people know that, and I don't talk about it a heck of a lot, but it's kind of a funny fact to see the 360 I've done in my kind of life and career.
Very interesting. I think we all have that kind of in our past. So I have had my fair share of pizza rolls and Hot Pockets and like all those all those things growing up. But then it comes to a point where you learn, you start taking action on your own health and you kind of transition. So that's so interesting to kind of know that you're human, right? You're just like everyone else. We all go through it.
Yeah, I mean, it points out that like anyone can change, right? My diet's been a complete 360, and now I don't crave that stuff at all. So anybody can adjust whether you're a picky eater or not. That was another thing. I was a really picky eater, and I found the more I ate vegetables and forced myself to, now I love them. So
very interesting, Carly. That's so, you know what? So I'd like to know actually what was that moment in time where you made that decision to get on this healthier kind of path?
Yeah, so it was probably when I graduated from university in around 2014, and then 2015, news from the World Health Organization came out that processed meat and red meat were now considered class 1 and class 2 carcinogens. And my dad is a colon cancer survivor. So he had colon cancer stage 2 when I was a child. It was very traumatic. He's still alive today and survived it. But it definitely hit a note at that time, because we had grown up on meat and potatoes, meat probably for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, processed meat when I went to lunch. So it was like, okay, genetically, I'm obviously predisposed for colon cancer, and my dad is obviously still at risk. So we kind of delved in as a family to all of the vegan documentaries, and I read books like The China Study and Eat to Live by Joel Fuhrman. And it was definitely, that was the catalyst to changing my diet and adopting a more plant-based way of eating. And it's like you said, kind of at the time in college and university, you kind of think you're invincible. And I mean, my metabolism was high. I felt like I could run off zero, and it starts catching up on you. I mean, I was working for a morning radio station at the time in Northern Ontario by myself, getting up at 4 a.m., felt run down, and I knew something needed to change. And definitely that news was the kick in the butt to kind of look at my way of eating and make that change.
I think that would definitely kick anyone to start taking action. And I am so glad that your dad is well. And so then would you say that your kind of the transition to this more plant-based lifestyle was more welcomed with your family instead of the whole like, you're going plant-based, right? Because there can be the two sides. How was your reaction with your family?
I was extremely lucky. My mom at the time was completely open to going. She switched to vegetarian, I think, before any of us. And because of animals, like I grew up on a hobby farm. We had horses, chickens, but just never made that connection to the animals on our plates. Mm-hmm. So that was an easy transition for my mom. And then my dad actually also, I think, from the beginning, for health reasons, also made adjustments in his diet to the point where I would describe him as majority plant-based now, and my mom vegetarian. So they were so welcoming of it and have been so supportive of my journey. And I count myself very lucky for that, because I know there can be a lot of, I get a lot of direct messages from children who don't know how to deal with their parents, who don't necessarily aren't accepting of the shift to veganism or plant-based eating. So it made it a lot easier.
I'm so glad that you were able to have that, you know, positive experience. As you mentioned, it can be quite the opposite for a lot of people. So then what would you say now with your health? Like, how has this transition impacted your health personally?
Yeah, so one thing that happened that I wasn't looking to necessarily address was I had grown up as a kid this might be TMI, but with extreme constipation. So to the point where I had gone to see the doctor, they had prescribed laxatives. It was kind of like, there's nothing you can do. This is just how your digestive system is. And I had just grown used to that. Like, wouldn't go to the washroom for 4 days at a time, always felt kind of bloated and not the best. And as soon as I went plant-based, all of that fixed itself. And if I had known at the time that it simply meant I was completely devoid of fiber in my diet, it would have been a lot easier, that I would have made that transition a lot sooner. I mean, I think we're so quick to just prescribe something rather than look at what the root cause is. And a lot of the time it can come back to the food you're eating every day. So that was one, that was like the major thing that right away I had had this issue for so long that kind of dissipated. The other thing that really benefited is that I have like such a love for food. Like, I think it is one of the most joyous things in life is to sit down for a large meal. And I had always kind of, especially when I graduated university, kind of been in this thought that I need to start restricting my meals because, I mean, I'm a woman and I need to look a certain way, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, I had been in kind of this carb restriction mindset to kind of achieve this body that I wanted. And when I went plant-based, I found I could just eat an abundance of the foods I actually wanted, like pasta, like the sauces that I wanted, like curry, and not gain weight. And I actually lost probably around 5 pounds. I wasn't overweight at the time, but I lost 5 pounds and I wasn't even trying to. So I felt like it was a secret. Like, you can eat an abundance of the foods you want in no restriction, except for the fact that I was eating healthy whole foods. And I felt like I needed to kind of shout it from the rooftops. And I mean, when you look at a plant-based approach to eating, it's a win from the health side, it's a win for the animals, and it's a win for the environment. So I just felt in my soul that I needed to start talking about it. So that's kind of how Plant U came along. I started sharing kind of the recipes I was making in my own really small kitchen when I was up in Northern Ontario, and it kind of blossomed from there.
Wow, that's incredible. Kind of what led you on this journey, Carly. And it's funny that you mentioned, so yes, TMI, constipation, but people don't realize that you should be going often. I dealt with this and I thought it was completely normal. So everything you said, I 100% related to. And I think a lot of people can, because we don't realize that there are more natural routes, because the traditional way is to kind of, you know, prescribe things and to take things when really, if you change what you eat, it helps a bunch. So I've experienced firsthand what you mentioned. So high five to you. And also the losing weight. I can also relate to that as well, because I have lost weight without trying. And once again, I'm not overweight. I'm not trying to lose weight, but I'm eating more and I don't feel bad. I'm not fully plant-based at all, but I have incorporated a lot more of the, you know, the veggies and the fruits and eliminated the process and the sugars and all the other stuff. And as you mentioned, you feel better, you look better, but you're not gaining that weight. I'm so glad that you mentioned all of those points to, once again, just kind of reinforce that you're human and, you know, there's different steps that you can take to kind of start feeling better. So I love that. So Carly, I would next like to know, so for someone who is looking to go more plant-based, from your personal experience, what would you say are like 3 easy tips to help kind of get them transitioned and make the process a little bit easier?
Number one, I would say, is that you don't have to look at it as an all or nothing lifestyle. I think a lot of people end up abandoning the idea of eating a more plant-based lifestyle because they're scared of kind of that vegan stigma of perfection. You don't have to be perfect. You can start integrating more plant-based meals without being a vegan and have an impact on both your health, the animals, and the environment. So that's number one, is to approach it without judgment and knowing that you don't have to go from 0 to 100 overnight. So number two, I would take an audit of what I currently eat in a week. So what do you take for lunch to work? What do you eat for your go-to dinners? And what do you eat for breakfast? So maybe you have cream in your coffee every day. An easy swap to make would be to buy a vegan creamer or to use a plant-based milk like almond milk, cashew milk, or oat milk instead. So that's one really easy, looking at these easy swaps you can make in the food that you're already eating. I would start by integrating 1 to 3 plant-based meals into my diet a week based off of the food that I already eat. So if you love tacos, I would look at exchanging them for a mushroom or cauliflower taco instead of ground beef. If you love a pasta with bolognese sauce, look at swapping out the meat in your pasta sauce for a lentils or lentil meatballs. So just looking at these familiar foods and how you can still maintain the flavor profile and comfort of them while also eating plant-based. Number three is I would start involving yourself kind of in plant-based community. So follow plant-based bloggers, follow plant-based recipes on Pinterest. This is going to make it a lot easier for plant-based meal ideas. I feel like if you've never really eaten vegan food, you're like, what the heck is that? But you're probably already eating vegan food. Bread is vegan, pasta is vegan. So once you kind of integrate yourself into recognizing plant-based bloggers and stuff like that, it'll be a lot easier to come up with meal ideas and to kind of immerse yourself in the lifestyle. So those are kind of my beginner's tips, but the most important is not judging yourself and just making small incremental changes that over time lead up to sustainable adjustments in your lifestyle.
Amazing tips, Carly. Those were so great. I think my favorite is kind of the audit one to kind of start swapping out and makes the transition easier because, as you mentioned, if you look at it as, oh, I'm going vegan or I'm going plant-based, you're like, whoa, what am I supposed to eat? But if you switch out those little things, it does make it seem easier to, you know, manage. So I'm so glad you brought that up. Hey, Healing Nation. I have to interrupt this episode for a second because I have something I could not wait to share with you. I'm so excited. We've all been a part of the story where we use cream after cream trying to moisturize our dry and painful eczema and nothing helps. If anything, they all hurt or stink, so we either end up putting up with the pain, thinking that it's normal, which it's not, or we stop using cream altogether, which is actually where I ended up, and it's not any better. Can you relate to any of those? Well, luckily, I stumbled upon a company called Gladskin, and they immediately caught my attention, and here's why. Gladskin's focus is not on masking the symptoms of eczema, but instead on balancing the skin's microbiome. The same way that we're changing what we eat to help balance our gut microbiome, Gladskin uses their patented endolysin called Microbalance to balance the skin's microbiome. So what does this mean? In simple terms, we all have good and bad bacteria on our skin, but the eczema flare-ups and the irritation happen when there's more bad bacteria than good. So after learning the science behind Gladskin, I immediately got in contact with them to try it myself. And after just a few days of using it, my eczema wasn't dry and cracked anymore. And the best part, you wanna know what it is? It never hurt or stung. I even used it on my kids and I saw even more improvement on their eczema. It was almost gone within days. Not only did I find a cream that didn't hurt, but I also found a cream that helped restore the balance on my skin. So not only am I able to heal from the inside out, but now I'm healing from the outside in. It's amazing. So if you're anyone you know has eczema, I highly recommend you get a bottle of Gladskin. Simply go to gladskin.com to get yours now. That's gladskin.com. You will not regret it, guys. Alrighty, back to the podcast. So Carly, in your experience with all of the cooking and everything, what would you say is like your must-have ingredient to always have in the kitchen?
All right. I would say definitely I always have like a vegetable broth or vegetable bouillon on hand because I use it a lot in my cooking, whether I'm cooking soups or seasoning, vegetables or tofu or anything like that. I always have rolled oats in my pantry. Whether you're making breakfast or making cookies, oats are an amazing powerhouse, fiber-rich, energy-rich food that are amazing to have. I always have a couple of cans of chickpeas and other red beans to make a quick chili or tacos or anything like that. They make for really good protein and fiber-rich meals. I always have some sort of bread in the house. I'm a huge fan of whole grains, so I'll have like a whole grain sourdough bread from our local bakery usually on hand if I'm craving something like that, or I'll serve it with soup. Always have dried red lentils. Red lentils are the quickest cooking lentil and make for delicious meals from a dal to a pasta sauce. And then spices. I think what a lot of people like about meat and animal products is the way they're spiced. So you want to have your spices on hand to season your vegan food in a similar way. So on a daily basis, I say I would use garlic powder, paprika, chili powder, cumin. I love garam masala for curries. So just having an array of spices to season your food, I think, is really important when you transition to a plant-based lifestyle. Those are
Very
kind of
cool.
the main ingredients I would say I would use on a daily basis. I also always have spinach in my fridge because I find spinach is one of those vegetables. I mean, I always see that meme go around where people like put a huge pile of spinach in a pan and then it disappears to like a little bit. But in some way, that's the nice part about spinach is like I find I throw it into any kind of saucy dish and it disappears, but you're still getting those nutrients and it's really good for smoothies. Which smoothies I always have frozen fruit on hand. So I'll always freeze bananas and berries and whichever else. I mean, there's so many foods I could touch on, but kind of those are the main ones.
But that just goes to show that you, one, that you have experience in it, so people can definitely go to you to kind of get more kind of tips and knowledge from you. But then you just gave an amazing list of ingredients that everyone can have on hand, and just the way that you made it flow and just your ideas of meals and stuff was amazing. Which it actually leads me to my next question. How do you come up with your meals and your recipes? I feel like that can be the most difficult part. Although you shared a tip to make it easier by finding better swaps, but what do you do to come up with your recipes?
Yeah, I definitely take inspiration from what I ate during my childhood. And I mean, as a vegan, it can be quite easy to find recipes because what I generally do is I'll look at what people are eating that aren't vegans and see how I can make a version that's vegan. So that's often inspiration. Like, I definitely don't just follow vegan food blogs. I follow a whole bunch of an array of blogs, and it gives me a lot of inspiration on Instagram. Pinterest is an unbelievable resource for exploring recipe ideas. Another big one is looking at restaurant menus and takeout menus and looking at what restaurants serve and how you might be able to veganize that or make it healthier. So those are probably my three main inspirations: childhood, social media, and then restaurant menus all provide a really good base for recipe inspiration.
Very cool. I never thought of a restaurant menu. I think that's so interesting. You're using what you have and just adapting it.
Exactly.
I love that. Very cool, Carly. I'm going to use that one for sure. Awesome, Carly. Carly, so now we're going to jump into a little part in the podcast where it's like a little fun lightning round that I ask you some simple questions and you just kind of answer the first thing that pops into mind, okay?
Perfect.
Awesome. All righty, Carly. So, what would you say is your favorite quote?
I really like "Food is thy medicine" by Hypocrisy. I'm
Hypocrisies.
But I really like that quote. I mean, it's used in so many plant-based books, and I think it's very much true. Not that I'm anti-medicine at all, but I'm always for looking at the root cause.
I couldn't agree more. I think that's an amazing quote, and I definitely reference it all the time. So, very cool. What about who is one person that has been most influential to you while on this journey?
Probably my mom, just because she's been so supportive of the journey and went vegetarian before anyone in my family did, and has really always been rooted in the animal activism. So when it comes down to reasons to go vegan, I think a lot of people first look at the health as benefits to eating more plant-based, but ultimately veganism is rooted in animal advocacy. And I think that for a lot of people, they start connecting the dots. So my mom for sure.
Awesome. I love that you have a good support system like that. That's so amazing. I love it. Alrighty, Carly, what about, what is one common myth about going plant-based that you would like to debunk?
Definitely the protein, that you can't get protein on a plant-based diet. There are so many amazing sources of protein, from tofu, tempeh, lentils, chickpeas, and every single plant contains some amount of protein. Basically, Dr. Michael Greger says it best: if you're eating enough calories in a day to sustain your body, you will by default likely get enough protein, barring some unique medical condition. So we have a very protein obsessed society, but it's really, we don't need as much as we're kind of pandered by health companies and the media. So it, if anything, we get way more protein than we need as a society. I think vegetarians themselves get 70% more protein than the recommended daily intake, whereas over 90% of Americans are fiber deficient. So that goes back to what we talked about earlier, but we definitely need a shift where we're focusing more on fiber. And I think a lot of the time a vegan or plant-based diet does provide that fiber that we're so lacking in our diets. And whether you're vegan or not, right? It, mm-hmm. I think fiber is so important.
Yeah, I've heard that question so many times. So I'm so glad that you brought it up, because, yep, we don't need as much as we think we need, yet we can still get plenty by, you know, going the more plant-based route. Very cool. Alrighty, and last question for you. What does healing mean to you, Carly?
I think healing is two-pronged, from a soul and a body perspective. I think there needs to be a mind shift as well as a shift in the way we treat ourselves in order to truly heal. So I mean, that kind of encompasses it, that it needs to be kind of a soul shift and a mind. So much of, I think, especially right now, I think so much of our health has to do with the way we're treating ourselves and the way we're thinking and positive thinking every day. And it's really hard to be healthy if you're not kind of respecting yourself and having a positive mindset where you can. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, 100%. I think you said that very well. You got to look at yourself as a whole, and you have to, yeah, that was really good, Carly. I loved it. Carly, you have been so amazing. I love everything that you've shared and your story. It's the tips you've shared with, you know, getting the healthier meals have been so good. Where can all our listeners go to continue to follow you, get your recipes and all the good stuff that you put out?
Thank you so much, Jocelyn. It's been a pleasure. Probably I'm most active on my Instagram page, which is the handle PlantU, which is plant, Y-O-U. I also have a website at plantu.com. I'm on TikTok as well, if any of the listeners are on there, as well as Facebook. And it's the same handle for Pinterest, Facebook, and all the socials, if anybody's looking to find me.
Very cool. And guys, I will link all that in the show notes. If you didn't catch it, don't worry. But I do urge you, go check it out, because I have checked out your Instagram, I've checked out your website, and you have amazing things on there. So everyone, please go check it out. Carly, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I look forward to doing this again soon. And I appreciate you taking time to be with us. Thank you. That's it for today, Healing Nation. Remember to believe, to learn, and to take massive action. Thank you, Healing Nation, for tuning into today's podcast. I want to remind you about the eczema cream Glad Skin that I was raving about earlier. This non-prescription eczema lotion has been so great, but not just for me, for my entire family. I even used it on my kids Lucas and Leah, and I saw an improvement in their dry and red eczema within days. Glad Skin is so safe to use on children that in an interview that I had with the president, Skylar Stein, He went as far as saying that you could use it on an infant's eyelids. He left me shocked and speechless when I heard this. What I also love about Gladskin is it's hypoallergenic, it's free of steroids, free of fragrances, free of drying alcohols, and to top it off, it is preservative free. And I didn't know this, so I want to share it with you, but preservatives kill the good bacteria on our skin, which are critical for skin health. So if you or anyone you know has eczema, I highly recommend you get a bottle of Gladskin. Simply go to gladskin.com to get yours now. Once again, that's gladskin.com. You will not regret it. Thanks again for tuning in, and I will see you on the next episode.